Over a career that spanned three decades now, British rocker Elvis Costello has established something of a specialty in collaborations. He's worked with the likes of Paul McCartney and Burt Bacharach. His new project is a byproduct of a hurricane.
I wore my finest suit of clothes, the sharpest thorn defending the rose, hard as a pistol, keen as a blade, the sharpest thorn upon parade.
At a series of Katrina relief concerts, Costello reintroduced himself to New Orleans R&B icon Alan Toussaint. Over time, what began as a tribute became a collaboration, and they dedicated their new CD called The River in Reverse to the reconstruction and reestablishment of New Orleans. If you have questions for Elvis Costello and Alan Toussaint about their new project, our number is 800-989-8255. That's 800-989-TALK. The email address is talk@npr.org. Elvis Costello and Alan Toussaint are in the middle of a nationwide tour. They join us now from the studios of NPR West in Culver City. Nice to have you on the program.
Good to be here.
Pleasure.
And let me begin with you, Elvis Costello. I know it's been over 20 years since you two worked together on an album. How's the reunion going?
Wonderful. I mean, it's a wonderful experience. Obviously, to take the music that we recorded and songs of Alan's, some of which were written over 30 years ago, and see exactly how they strike people as living in the moment that we're all passing through right now. And the wonderful things that Alan has added to the show, that is a number of arrangements of songs of mine, some of them well-known and some of them deep in my catalogue, and they're completely have a new coat of paint now, and together with songs of Alan's that we didn't record for The River in Reverse. So it's a rich show, and we have a wonderful ensemble, my group, The Imposters, Alan's horn section, the Crescent City Horns, and Anthony Brown on guitar. And obviously, best of all, Alan at the piano.
Alan, as he mentioned, a lot of songs from your archives. Did you pick them, or did you and Elvis pick them together, or did he pick them?
Elvis picked them all, and many, many more, yes.
And what did you think of his choices?
I thought it was extraordinary. For one thing, I just thought it was amazing how much of my material Elvis was aware of, so much more than what we could ever record. Some things I had forgotten about.
You'd forgotten about them.
Oh, yes.
Let's hear one of the tunes from the CD. This is a song of Alan Toussaint's called Who's Gonna Help a Brother?
We may seem happy, like everything's all right, but from the outside looking in, everything's uptight. But deep down inside, we're covering up the pain. It's an old thing, it's a soul thing, but it's a real thing. Pray tell, what's gonna happen to brother? Who's gonna help him get further for one another?
Alan Toussaint, is that one of those tunes you'd forgotten? It sure sounds relevant after Katrina.
Well, I must say it had been sleeping for quite a while, and Elvis woke it up graciously, I must say.
Do you still have that 45, Elvis?
Yeah, well, I have the album, Yes We Can, that Lee Dorsey, that Alan produced on Lee Dorsey, which is a record, I think, that opened the door for a lot of people to hear Alan's songs as they might be interpreted from people from other worlds of rock and roll. But you know that you just caught a little snatch of that song. The song goes on to conclude, what happened to the Liberty Bell I heard so much about? Did it really ding dong? It must have dinged wrong. It didn't ding long. And we were obviously here in place during the conversation that preceded this one onto the air about personal liberties and the compromises that they're being put under by a climate of fear and because of the complex situation that we live in. Alan can say a thing like that with such lightness and wit and with a great rhythm, and it makes people like laugh at the humor of it, but also there's a serious implication. And because we're different people, come from different experiences of music and life, we probably complement one another in the different way we express ourselves in relation to passing events.
You guys recorded, or at least remixed, part of this album in New Orleans.
No, we recorded, in fact, that track you just played was recorded in New Orleans. It obviously wasn't possible to plan all of the recording of the record for New Orleans, because at the time that we began working together, as you said at the top of the segment, we got together during the benefit shows, and the idea of making this record developed in a very short period of time, in 7 days, in fact. Then we went into a process of writing songs together to add to the songs from Alan's catalogue. And by the time we were ready to go into the studio, we had the planet for to begin in Hollywood, because New Orleans was still under martial law and closed to visitors. But as we, you know, as we made our final preparations, it did become, we did become aware of the fact that Piety Street Studios had reopened. There was one hotel that was accepting reservations from visitors to the city. And so it was just natural that we'd want to complete the work there and cut some tracks and do some of the other essential work of the recording in New Orleans.
Alan Toussaint, it must have been very strange for you to go back to New Orleans under those circumstances.
It was very, it was wonderful to go back under those circumstances. I had been back several times, going in to look at my the damage at my own personal place, as well as other places in the city, because I care about the entire area. So I had been back and forth, but to be going back in to do what we were going to do, labors from the heart to make music, it was a spiritual and a joyful experience, and all the musicians were fired up.
Fired up.
Oh, yes.
At the same time, you go out of the studio, and as I understand, it's near the Ninth Ward, so obviously not a situation where places were undamaged.
Oh, right. There's still, even now, there's many pretty much dead neighborhoods that haven't been touched because it's such a huge huge situation that took place, and the process is very slow. Yes, getting out of the studio and riding around, we were able to see, and people who had never visited before was able to see how much destruction took place, and it was alarming to everyone.
Let's get a caller in on the conversation. By the way, if you'd like to join us, 800-989-8255, email talk@npr.org. Alex is calling from Chico, California.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well, thanks.
Hello. Is it, Elvis Costello. I'm a huge fan. I've been since the 80s as a teenager. My question is, and I'll take it off the air, What was your shift from being solo artist to doing partnerships with other musicians?
Well, it isn't a conscious shift. Opportunities have come my way, and I think it's easy to lose sight of the fact that everything you do, unless you are literally going to pick up one instrument and play as a solo artist, everything is a collaboration. My work at the very beginning of my career with The Attractions was a collaboration with three other musicians. The fact that my name went first because I was standing up at the front of the stage singing all the songs, I suppose, makes people think that it's kind of about, you know, that person. But everything I've ever done has been a collaboration. And as you move on, opportunities come your way to work with people who you admire, and they take you into new worlds of music, give you new experiences, which have the benefit of renewing you in two ways. One is it opens a new world of music to you, and the other is when you return to, say, hitting the electric guitar and yelling, which is the way I describe certain things that I do, it seems brand new again, whereas if I'd done it consistently for 30 years, I might have run out of the permutations by now.
Let me ask you a question about collaboration, and one of them, for you, Elvis Costello, what is it like to go into the studio to sing the songs of a wonderful, great singer who's standing there at the piano?
Well, I mean, Alan's very generous in every respect, and his attitude throughout this whole experience, both personally in relation to the personal losses and the damage to the city, has been such a lesson to all of us that have worked together. It's I really was taken more with that than anything else. Just in terms, we had discussed the songs, we had found out what keys to do them in. It felt as if they felt right. That, as Alan told you, I did make the selections from his catalog because I felt there were songs that were in there that were underappreciated, and I didn't feel that I wanted to re-record songs which were very well known, like Working in a Coal Mine or Southern Nights, because we wouldn't really be able to easily get out of the shadow of those indelible versions by Lee Dorsey or whoever you've heard them by. Whereas other songs, that, even if the same artist recorded them, you had a little bit more chance to be the first person to introduce those songs to some of the audience. So I didn't feel intimidated because Alan's attitude to it was wholly supporting. And we almost had to kind of trick Alan in the kindest way into getting on the mic as a vocalist, because I personally love his singing, but he was reluctant to take the mic. But as you hear in Brother, it's a beautiful voice, and it has its own authority as the author of these songs. And there's also a very important component part in a lot of these compositions of call and response. And that was something I always puzzled about as a fan growing up in England, hearing the Lee Dorsey records and other records that Alan produced. Who was this other voice? And it turns out, of course, it was Alan.
So Alan,
his background parts that he sings with the bass player of the Impostors, David Farragut, in this recording are integral and essential parts of the arrangements.
We're talking with Elvis Costello and Alan Toussaint about their new project, which is a CD, which they've just released. They're touring with it. It's called, it's called The River in Reverse. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Alan, I wanted to ask you a question about collaboration. One of the things you brought to this project was the Crescent City horns. And we know that the way you're accustomed to using them in your own music, that bouncy rhythm on Who's Gonna Help a Brother, I think we remember from Yes We Can and songs like that. How did you work them out in inserting them into Elvis's tunes?
Well, we were making honest music from our hearts, and that's the way it comes out that way. There wasn't a special preparation that I had to make. When I hear what I think should go here, it comes out like that. And with these particular guys who we have, the Crescent City, it's a genuine name. They understand this music very well, so it's all very authentic. There was nothing, no other notions I had to take on to do this music.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear a collaboration that emerged from this project. It's called Ascension Day.
Not a soul was stirring, not a bird was singing, at least not within my hearing. I was 5 minutes past caring, standing in the road just staring. Thought I heard somebody pleading, thought I heard someone apologize. Some fell down weeping, others shook their fists up at the sky, and those who were left seemed to be wearing disguises.
And Elvis Costello, that particular tune had an unusual genesis. Tell us about it, if you would.
That was the beginning of our collaboration as writers. I mean, as you, those people that know this music well, will recognize that as Alan's minor key transcription of the famous Professor Longhair composition Tipitina, which is normally heard as an up-tempo, a very song of great exuberance. And when I heard the lamenting nature of Alan's rendition of it in the minor key, a lot of pictures were created in my head, and also some images. The opening image of that lyric came from a friend of mine, mm-hmm. describing his first return to his hometown, to New Orleans, and the absence of birds and the desolation of it. And then the song proceeds on to offer a more hopeful conclusion, the idea that, you know, there will be an ascension, not the feast mm-hmm. of the ascension in the religious sense, but something more. And this is really one of the strengths of working with somebody as open as Alan, in that we have access to the depth of the tradition of this music. And okay, there's a presumption that you can add something of value to that tradition as an outsider. But in contrast to this piece, if I may mention one other song that mm-hmm. we play in the concert tour, I gave Alan a list of 9 songs that I thought he might consider to write arrangements for from my catalog to complement the River in Reverse songs. And they were very wide-ranging, from well-known to not so well-known. And a ballad, such as one from King of America, Poison Rose, would lend itself beautifully to his kind of horn voicings. Now, the harshest of these tunes, musically speaking and lyrically, was a song from our last record, The Delivery Man, called Bedlam, which is a retelling of the nativity story in the reality of a modern refugee situation. It's a very unusual song lyrically. I mean, you imagine the three wise men arriving, bringing gifts of gold, frankincense, and Rumsfeld, or something like that. You know, it is a harsh song already lyrically, and it has a lot of images, jumbled images from contemporary news reports in it. Alan's horn arrangement for this particular song, which I hope people get a chance to hear in concert, was so startling to me that he was open to responding to everything in the music, whatever, wherever it came from. So it stretches the framework of our collaboration even beyond that which we were able to achieve over the writing of a new record album and recording these great songs from Alan's catalogue.
And that is one from the concert, not from the CD.
Not from the CD, but I mean, that's what I... pardon me for, you know, it sounds boastful, but it's the joy that I have in doing this is that even beyond making this record, bringing the songs to life, of course, they change shape and you find new ways to interpret even brand newly recorded songs. But Alan's imagination as an arranger has just been so evident in everything that he's given to the Impostors and I, and the Crescent City Horns play it with such ferocity. It's a beautiful thing.
The CD is called The River in Reverse. Where does your tour take you next?
To the Oakland Paramount tomorrow night.
Have a great show. Appreciate your time today. Elvis Costello and Alan Toussaint, who joined us at NPR's Bureau in California, NPR West in Culver City, California. The new project is called The River in Reverse. I'm Neil Cownan, NPR News in Washington.